Have you ever felt like there's a bigger you that lives inside? Like you're more than one thing, but maybe you haven't given yourself permission to be your whole damn self. When we gather on Sexy Sunday, we're here to do that. I'm Bonnie, and I'm here for the taboo, the details of what makes you moan, and how we play with this experiment of life. Hello, sexy. I'm glad to have you back here today. And today, I'm going to share a little bit with you about divorce and kids and a little bit of the uncoupling process from my own perspective. And I'm going to do this because of two things. Okay, maybe three. Okay, I don't know. Well, maybe we'll do no numbers. This podcast, I think what I'm about is, you know, is having all these different kinds of conversations about sex, relationship, intimacy, intimacy with other people, intimacy with ourselves, with, you know, and really when I define spirituality, it is my connection to self, to others, and to the world at large, like the world, the kind of unknowable things and the animals and plants and the earth and all of these things, right? And I think this podcast is about being all the things and being willing to say all the things and letting it get a little bit gritty. And so that, first of all, like I want to have these types of conversations. Second of all is that I have had several people, like people reach out to me and kind of ask for maybe some of my own story about divorce and navigating that with children. And I think when people come to me, I think especially as a woman, somebody who identifies as a woman, and who also was the person who stayed at home with kids, and I have three kids, and so I think in response to some people who have reached out, I would like to create a podcast as maybe something that I can direct people to. So if you are somebody who's in a situation where you're like, do I want to get divorced? Or maybe I'm in the middle of a divorce, or maybe I have a friend who's going through divorce, and how do we navigate this with kids? And here's one voice. Mine is one voice, right? There's so many ways to be right, so many ways to do something. So this is just one story, but if it can be of any support or make you feel a little bit less alone in this process, then I'm here for that. And then finally, I want to record this because just this past week, 3 days ago, I've been officially divorced for 3 years. And we're separated longer than that. We were separated over a year before the divorce was final. We separated right before 2020. And so in October of 2019, and then everything of 2020 happened. We're like, okay, yeah, we're going to do this. We weren't trying to get it done before the end of 2019. And so in 2020, we're like, okay, like really was looking at taxes and saying, do we want to file taxes? How do we want to file taxes by the end of this year? Like for 2020, we're like, okay, let's get this done. And so then we finally did the paperwork and went through it and here we are today. So I'm going to share a little bit about this process for me. And there's been some podcasts I've shared before. I have a podcast, you know, my other podcast called Yoga Strong. It was episode number 4, which is, I think, maybe one of the most listened to episodes on that whole podcast. And it's called This Is Love 2, episode number 4. And that is where I shared that we were getting a divorce. And I really wanted to share it at large because you're here listening to this, right? And because I am a public figure. Like and I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to be a public figure. I didn't mean to have so much sharing with so much of the world. And yet here I am, and I really want to show up as my whole self. And that doesn't mean that there's not parts of me that people don't see or aren't privy to, but that there is some rather large structure parts of me that that feel like okay for me to share, that feel appropriate for me to share, and the ways that I show up and the stories that I tell, because I like I like being a storyteller. I like being a storyteller where it comes from my own personal life with my kids, and relationships are such a big piece of this. And so sharing that I was going to be going through this divorce, that I decided to do this and to do it in a way that was really loving and amicable, it felt really important actually to share too, in a way of telling a story about divorce and separation that was a celebration and not just pain. And also, you know, it brings different work. So that some of that as some background for us today. And I'm just going to share a little bit about what that process was like in telling the kids. So this episode is specifically about these kids and navigating that relationship and helping them in the process and maybe some lessons and takeaways and some maybe unexpected hearts that I have found along the way that I didn't expect. Yeah. And in all of this, gonna coat it all with some celebration and hope for you. I don't know about hope, like whatever the word hope, but like just some celebration for you. So if you find yourself in a place that you are in the middle of a divorce, I just like, let's just start this conversation and be like, I am so fucking excited for you. I'm so fucking excited for you. So if you have not heard that yet, I am so fucking excited for you and you in this divorce. Because you are going to expand in ways that you could not otherwise. You are going to grow into a person that does not currently exist, and your perspective is going to be greater. The things that you're going to be able to do, you're going to be able to look back and be like, oh wow, this actually helped me grow in these ways. And there is so much life ahead. And you're really going to be okay. Like, you're gonna be okay. And I'm excited for you and for this journey that you are saying yes to, even if it wasn't your instigation. And that's important to say. Because maybe you don't want to choose this. Maybe this is a choice that you are being presented with that you actually didn't come up with. And maybe it's not the choice that you really want to say yes to. And I will tell you that, like, for me and my choice to get divorced, that was a choice. Like, I did not feel like that was thrust upon me. That was a conscious choice. And I know that that's not what everybody receives or has the opportunity to, like, really choose from the beginning. However, you do get to choose it right now. Like, you get to choose how you want to move right now, what you want to hold, what you want to grasp. And I really, like, I'm clenching my palms, right? Like, and my holding my hands and fists. Like, you get to clench and you get to hold real tight to whatever you want. And what happens when you open your hands? What happens when you open your palms and walk in the world in that state of receiving and saying, okay, now what? Now what can I show up with? What is the openness I can arrive with? That does not mean it's not painful. That does not mean there's not grief. It means that we can grasp and we can get our whole body in tension, or a different sort of intention of open-handedness, open-heartedness. And there is a wave that we might ride between those two things and two ways of being, and both of them exist, right? And things will come and go. So I just want to celebrate you. I want to celebrate you on this new journey and in this new space, and it's going to be fucking hard. There's going to be things that are going to be really hard. There's going to be things that make you angry. There's going to be things that are make you sad. There's going to be things also, though, that you're going to celebrate, things that you could never have thought of being able to do. There's going to be space created in your life where you're going to be able to do something else and say yes because there is a no now, and now there's something else and room to grow that you don't even recognize, and that's going to be really cool. There's going to be a type of joy that you're going to find that's going to be different than where you have been. And I'm not going to quantify anything as better or worse. It's just different. And different is expansive. So with that, I want to share with you that one of the hardest parts of the whole divorce experience was telling my kids that we were going to get divorced. And it might make me cry because it makes me cry like every time that I talk about it. So it truly was, oh, I can already feel it. It truly was the hardest piece. And it was a really dorky way that we began the conversation. I didn't know how else to begin it. But I was sitting in the living room with their dad, and we were going to say the things. And I watched all three of my kids. They were like wrestling each other and like just playing around and laughing and just like, I don't know. It was a very happy moment. And I looked at him and then we like shared eye contact. We were in it together. And I looked at my kids and in my head, I was like, this is the moment before everything changes. This is the moment before everything changes. And they were happy and they were playing. And not that they wouldn't be happy or playing, but that their whole world that they did not expect, like in a way they did not expect, was going to be turned upside down. And I mean, this is not even getting any backstory of like leading up to divorce, but it's a different story. But we had really chosen this together and we were both very kind in all this. It was very amicable. We're like, we had, as a short version of where we're at here, we had looked at each other and said, what do we want? How do we best support each other? Does this look like we continue to move together, marry? Does this look like we separate? And it's work either way. What work do we want to choose? And we chose separation. And again, it was a very kind release for each other. And still, that's hard. And still, these kids had, their life was here. And we had to tell them. And I had them come and sit down that moment before. I can still see them in that moment before. And they sat down. And they were like, okay, we're sitting here. And y'all, I don't know how to break the news. I think, like, you know, like there's like the most uncomfortable, like 8 seconds of your life or whatever number, I don't know, there's a number that's around there, like 4 seconds, 8 seconds, like do the uncomfortable thing. And then everything is better after that. I don't know. But like those first words, when you know there's a conversation to have, doesn't matter who it's with, and you know that those words are going to change everything and put something else in motion, it's terrifying. And sometimes it's really hard to know what it is you're going to say. And I didn't have a plan. And in that moment, we did know that their dad had found an apartment. He was going to move out and he was going to a place that had a pool. And so the words that I said were, they sat down and I said something to the effect of, guess what? We're getting a pool. And I was just talking with one of my kids recently and they're like, I remember when you said that, you know, we're talking about this experience and their experience, in that moment and everything. We just were talking about that recently. And I don't know if I knew, like, I didn't know how else to say the things in that time, but that was like how, in my kind of constant effort of how do I spin this into something positive and not in, you know, in the introduction sort of way, be like, okay, like, is there something good in this? And that's what I led with. Like, what's something that's good in this? We get a pool. Great. And then the next words were I just know that it was those words. And I don't even know if I said it or their dad said it. I'm not even sure. I think he probably spoke up after that and said something about us getting divorced. And watching my children when we told them was the hardest. Because there's a lot of societal ideas of what divorce means. And in that moment, whatever stories are out there that our kids have gleaned from other friends, from books, from television, from like whatever, right? From neighborhood people, I don't know, like from wherever they have gleaned it, from people talking about it just in passing, all of a sudden, when they hear the word divorce, whatever stories are out there, those are in their head. And it's very much like if I said, how do you show love? And if you were to answer that, you are going to say something than the person sitting next to you and the person next to you, right? Or what does it mean to be frugal and not spend a lot of money? Or what's the most important thing to spend money on? That answer is going to be so many different answers, right? But it's the same question. So what does divorce mean? What does it look like? What is it? How is this going to change our lives? That means so many different things for so many different people. So whatever stories were in my kids' head, all of a sudden crashed into them. And I watched them. I watched them break and I watched them just cry. And I watched them ask questions. And my youngest at the time, he was just crying. He was just crying. And he kept on saying, but why? But why? But why? But why? And crying and saying this. And I just held him. And some of the things that came out were that the kids thought that their dad was going to move away, like a state or two away, and they weren't going to see him. That was part of the divorce story in their head, was that now they weren't going to be able to see their parents. They weren't going to like both be there. So that was one of the stories. And we sat for an hour together, holding each other and crying together and being together. And it was so full of love. It was so full of love. And there was no rush. And we were just there. And then there was an eventual drying of tears. And, you know, there was one moment where one of my kiddos said something like, so this is kind of like, they said, so it's kind of like you and dad love each other like siblings. And, you know, as a kid's word, you know, that kid's kind of language to say. And we were like, yeah, that's a good way to put it. And where we really did care about each other. And like even jumping forward here for a moment, but even like from there, like we all went shopping together eventually to outfit the new apartment, to get new furniture. And it was asked, you know, like he asked me to like, hey, will you come shopping? And we all went to IKEA and we got all the things that we needed. And very much like this was a family movement. And I am 100% there for all of that because these are my kids. This is like a person that I've been with for, you know, by the time we were divorced, I was married for 16 years with this person. And I'm so fucking grateful for him. Hey, like that relationship, a marriage shapes you, especially when you get married so young. I was 20 when I got married. And so I was very young and had kids and did the things. And we were Mormon together. We left the church together, like all of this stuff. We were non-monogamous together. Like, and then we decided to make this step. Like it was all of these things and really just a beautiful way of holding, I think, in that time, and the children were part of that. And so we had this hour together. It was rather big. And then after that, we had other plans that we were going to do that day. And we went on with it. We actually, you know, one of my kids, we were headed to Old Navy. We had some things that we needed to get that kid. So we headed out and we went to the store and the other people did other things. Like we just got to the point where actually where one of my other kids made a that's what she said joke as we were all sitting on the couch together and being in that space. And so we got past the anxiousness, past the devastation, past some of that and a little bit of understanding, but also very much like not knowing what it was going to mean, into like a little bit of a joke, a little bit of like some laughter. And so once we got there and then we were able to move and we were able to keep going, then what has come of it is that it was really interesting because my kids over time were, some of the language was, you know, it feels like it's always been this way. Once we had separated houses, once we were moving back, like the kids are moving back and forth, they're like, oh, it always feels like this. Like it feels the same with mom and dad. It felt like a natural thing. And for me, like the generosity of their dad, he was like, I'm moving out then. I'm gonna move out and you and the kids are gonna stay here. And so I have the house that we lived in and I stayed here in the house and I own the house now, and he has a different house now. He lives a mile away from me, and the kids, we are week on, week off. So that's kind of our arrangement right now. And hearing, I think, the feedback over time. So now it's been years. So now that we've been separated for, you know, like 4 years, there has been enough time where the kids are like, wow, mom, you and dad are so different from each other. And we knew that it was, but seeing you live differently and live apart, you can really see it. And you know what? I love that, actually. I think that's a really big gift, is that I was able to give my kids the opportunity to see more ways that are right, actually, through this. And even in the moments that are hard, that they're able to like glean different ways of doing things and being in the world. So things, you know, this feels like I'm painting it as like a really beautiful picture. Like everything's great. Everything is working well. And like, honestly, I want to say that relatively speaking, that's really true. And there's also some unexpected hard that has come from this. You know, I was a stay-at-home mom and I didn't have a job outside my house. When I was like college and doing the things, you know, I worked for the college, I worked for like the apartment complex we lived in when their dad was going through grad school. And I'd volunteer at school, volunteer in church, you know, and then I started to get into yoga things and get into personal training. And I was with the kids 100% of the time. And there were some years in there where their dad was working like 80 hours a week somewhere between 60 and 80. We'll leave that a little bit more generous in there. But like, it was just a lot of times. It was weekends. It was 6-7 days a week. And so it got to be really long hours. And I was like full-time caretaker of the kids. And so that was like I know how to do that. I know how to show up for them. Like I was doing a lot of that. And so an unexpected hard actually has been, you know, at first I was like, okay, this will be fine. Like the kids will go there. I will like have them here. Like we're going to be able to figure this out. And when we first started, we did a 2-5 split. And so we'd have 2 days on. It was like we'd have 2 days on. I would always be Monday and Tuesday. He would always be Wednesday and Thursday. And then we would alternate the Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So we would go 2-5, 2-5, 2-5, 2-5. So the weekends were alternated, but we always had the two of the same days in the week. It is really hard to transition in the middle of the week with kids. I'll just put that out there. But when they're a little bit younger, it was nice. And like the scheduling of when I was teaching yoga and needed help, like that worked out really well actually for us. And then we switched. We switched eventually to week on, week off. But in that process, my kids had to leave me. It gave me one a space. Actually, I could build a business and I wanted to do that. And I was like at that precipice. Like there's a lot of things that were beginning when the separation happened. I launched my podcast, Yoga Strong. I offered the first mentorship online for yoga teachers. So I was ready. Like I was stoked to do the things. So I was going places, and the space honestly really does create the space without having to be a full-time caregiver of children, and like being the primary caregiver in like the go-to for that week gives me space to be able to move and build something else that's not just taking care of kids. So that gave me more opportunity where I gave that opportunity. I was a full-time kid person for a lot of years. And all of a sudden I got some time. And on the flip side, you know, they had an experience where there was definitely, I am sure, some like working into that kind of new system of living with their dad, because he had to like all of a sudden do some other things. So there was like definitely some shifting that we all had to hold in that. But I think one of the unexpected hard as time has gone on is that I get less time with my kids. And I fucking love them. They are the coolest humans. And my oldest is a senior in high school, which means he's going to be leaving for college in less than a year. And time goes twice as fast when you have your kids half time. It goes twice as fast. They're a week older. Their hair is a week longer. The year is twice as fast, or half as long. It's like a weird thing, because kids are such markers of time. And so that sometimes is an unexpected hard for me, where I miss them and the nights when they go to their dads. They're big energy though. And so it's a mixed thing where like I miss them, and also the space without them allows me room to do other things that I can't do with them. And so it's like an interesting play together and gift. Like it's such a gift to be their mom. But another unexpected hard is that in that transition time when they're maybe in process and they're like processing something emotionally, mentally, like socially, like there's a lot of processing as kids get older. Like they're adults. They're like mini adults. We have a lot of things that we're trying to figure out in our lives. And so if they're in some sort of state of process and then it's transition time for them to like go to the other house, I feel like that sometimes is like, I'm like, oh, I want to like be the support person and walk through this with them. So sometimes those moments feel tricky, at least for me. And I would say the transition in general can sometimes be a little bit sticky. Some of my kids like basically leave everything at both houses and they just mostly just move their body and their school stuff back and forth. Then I have other kids who are like, I'm going to take everything that I own to every house back and forth. Especially my oldest is that way. So he's really ready to go to college because he's going to be like, I think about this. I'm like, he's been transitioning back and forth and is taking stuff back and forth for years. And he really doesn't like it, and I don't blame him. But he's going to go to college and it's going to be set up in his room and he's not going to have to move it. So as a parent, I think about that and how that will create a different sort of ease in his nervous system to like not have to do that. He'll have to have roommates now in college. So it's a different trade. But as far as like the space. And so one of the things I think about in transition is how can I make it a soft landing? It's a lot of energy when the kids come and go, and depending on what they're navigating personally, and how can I send them off softly? And then how can I receive them softly? So right now we trade and have the transition time on Friday evenings. And so Friday is like a kid night. Like it's like what you do Friday nights. And there's a lot of different schedules with teenagers and where they're going, what they're doing. But think about trying to make it a soft landing. And I mean, this is mostly about the kids, but like the things that end up being, I think the communication pieces with co-parenting end up being around that time too, whether it's texting or whether we like are standing in the driveway, have a conversation of like, hey, any heads up that I need for this past week or the week we're going into, and really like navigating then like, how do we be co-parents and being on the same team? I think that's really like the important piece is like, I'm really fucking grateful for their dad because he's a really good dad and he shows up big time. And I am so grateful to have a co-parent who like, I so trust him and I'm grateful for him, and he loves these kids and these kids love him. And so to have a co-parent that is just as invested in where they're at. And again, like this is my story. This is my experience. It does not have to be what everybody has, and it isn't what everybody has. And I am grateful that it is what it is for me. And I think it was because so much our intention was like, how do we show up for these kids, right? This is going to like connect us forever, is these children. So how do we keep a working relationship and a kind relationship so that we can like be good at this? And it's such an important piece for me that like I am always building him up. Like he's always like, yes, we're very different in things. And we think differently about things. We approach things different ways. That doesn't make his way bad. We're just different. Like it would be so boring, right? Like this is what I say all the time. It would be so boring if we were all the same. Because we're not. We're not. So I love embracing that. So those are, you know, some things, you know, there's different sorts of situations and swapping. Like there's things that are hard to navigate. There's things that are emotional to navigate. There's things that are going to be that, definitely. But, you know, I had somebody reach out and say that their kids were really sad about their divorce, and that this person was like, I'm getting divorced for my happiness, for where I'm at. And my kids, like, what about my kids? And I'm feeling selfish about this decision. And that they're going to have to do so much, like so much navigation of this, and that they're feeling sad and grieving this. And so I just want to speak to that and say, it is very okay for your kids to be grieving. And if you're in the middle of this and you're finding that mix of like, oh my gosh, life is like switching. I want to do this. I want to make this change. Again, there's like a lot of other nuanced things that we could talk about this topic, but really focusing mostly on kids here is that it is okay for them to grieve. It is okay for them to be sad. It is okay for them to not understand. It is really just okay for them to be in like the not knowing space and for you to show up still. And I think about when I chose to leave the Mormon church. I was like, you know, we're going to show up for the family things. We're going to show up and we're like, we're the same person we were like before. They just didn't know. And like, we're still here. Like we're still showing up. We still care. We still are like, I'm Bonnie. Hi, still Bonnie. Right. Yes. There's changes and shifts, but like, I'm still showing up. And so I think it's the same with kids. It's like, you're still going to show up. You're still going to show up and be the parent that they hope you to be. And it is okay for them to be sad. And it is okay for you to choose something that is going to bring you happiness as a parent. And might you feel selfish at times to be like, why am I choosing this and making this hard for my kids? And I know that depending on, you know, the people around you and the stories that might have been told about their childhood when maybe their parents got divorced and the hardness in that, that might filter into your psyche of making decisions, but you get to tell your own story. Hard stop. And if there are other stories about divorce and children in divorce, and if you are a child of divorced parents and it was shitty for you, you get to tell a different story. You're in charge of that. Choose different. And how can you bring celebration? How can you bring play in it? How can you bring a conscious awareness and dedication to coexisting together in a generous way? And not everybody will sign up for that. Not every co-parent will sign up for that. All the people that might be involved. But that doesn't mean you don't have to sign up for that. That means you still can. And you can hold like your boundaries so that you can feel safe and secure and you still show the fuck up for your kids. So they don't have to understand right now. Right? They're going to understand differently as time goes on. So if you feel selfish, lean in where it's a little bit uncomfortable and stay and keep asking questions. And like I say, like my two values are curiosity and bravery. Keep leaning in, keep being brave, keep being curious, keep asking the questions of the people around you and especially of yourself. Right? You can make a move for your happiness and it's a big one. Like I truly think that choosing a divorce was like one of the biggest moves I made for my life and hard. And there will be things that were hard that you don't even know are going to be hard yet. There's going to be emotional landscape that you're going to have to navigate. And you are choosing you, but you're also choosing them. You're also choosing your children. It's not an or. You're not saying you don't want them in your life in this moment. And yes, might there be situations that people are doing that? Yes, but that's not where you're at. You're choosing you, maybe, right? Like, this is me. Like, from my speaking, from my perspective, I was choosing me and I was choosing my children. It's not an or. I want them. I want them. So letting part of the process be a grieving piece, and it's a grief for your children, but it's also a grief for you and the way that things were operating. This is a whole new story for them and they don't have a lot of control. And so it's okay to be in this space. And for you, it's going to be that you're in an expanded place. You're going to be like, oh my gosh, I'm growing. This is when you're in plant stage where you've just been repotted. You've been pulled out of the pot. And your roots have been rustled. You have a new, bigger pot with new soil. You get shoved in the ground and all of a sudden you can't reach the edges and you don't know where the edges are and you don't know where your roots are supposed to go and everything feels floppy and you get watered, but you're like hanging sideways off the plant, off the pot. And then you start to ground in and you start to pull up some water and you start to push down your roots and you're like, oh, actually I can be here too. It's okay if you're in that floppy season. It's okay if you're a newly potted plant in a bigger vessel, in a different shaped vessel, a different color, whatever it is you want to call it. It is okay. This is an expansive season. It's an expansive season. And it's going to be beautiful. One thing I would leave for you as perhaps a recommendation is that I know that I've heard from/about several women in particular. So I'm going to speak from the female side as a woman, and my own kind of journey into looking at money and accepting support and divorce papers and things. So having this just be the anniversary of this for me, my recommendation is to get a lawyer and to talk through things. And if you can work together, it's cheaper because you can just get one lawyer. That's an amicable lawyer. They exist. That's what we did. And to walk through the things with somebody who knows what they're doing. And even if it feels really amicable, decide on all the dates. Decide when you get the kids, when you're not. Even if it feels like not necessary. So you're like, well, we'll just figure it out. Like, we're doing this. We're doing good. Sit down and do it from the beginning when you're in that season of like, we're going to do this together. We're going to make this work. We're like here on the same page. Just do that now. That would be like my recommendation. And to really let yourself, especially if you have been a primary caretaker and, are able to get support. For me, and there's no child support because we are 50-50 in taking care of kids. But I have alimony that I receive at the current moment. And so like letting myself receive that was definitely a journey for me. And like the conversation around money. So I just want to say, especially to maybe people who have not been primary, financial givers for the family, to let yourself receive money. And for anybody going through a divorce, get a lawyer to help you talk through that time and that space. And if you have been making money, then you might not like be making money in this, you know, kind of dissolution of the marriage. But just talk to a lawyer and I love that this person said, you know, well, you don't know who you're going to end up with and how they impact like what situations and life situations. And I just thought that was really good advice. So I would do that while you're still like in this process of holding it together. And let yourself have all the feels and let your kids have all the feels. And I am here to champion this expansion for you because it's going to be hella good. Maybe not easy, but it's going to be hella good. And you get to be a person with a different story. And you get to write that story. You get to decide what divorce means to you. You get to decide what expansion means to you. You get to decide what happiness means to you. You get to decide what being a parent means to you, because now it's you and those kids. Not you and somebody else and those kids. They're doing a different thing over there. What are you and those kids doing? How are you making those memories? How are you showing up in those moments and being a landing place? I am so fucking excited for you. It's devastating sometimes. And it's going to be a process. And there's going to be like holidays are going to come around and then things are going to get switched. Or maybe somebody wants something different as a parent. And there will be things to navigate. But I am excited for you. And I celebrate you. Hand to heart with you. I just want to remind you, as this podcast really is about, that you are more than one thing. And if this helped you at all today, gave you any sort of sense of like, I am not alone in this, or maybe you know somebody else who really needs to hear this and not be alone in it too, then send it to them. Share it. Share this. You get to tell the story. And if you have other sort of prompts that you would love for me to share my take on, my experience with, send me a message. Like, send me a message on Instagram at Sexy Sunday with Bonnie, or send me an email at hello@bonnieweeks.com and send me a message and I can riff on some other things and respond to you. And just thank you for listening. Thank you for celebrating wherever it is that you are at, that your feet are at right this moment, and hand to heart for you and with you in whatever you are navigating and expanding into and embracing that floppy plant time. Is a gift to share. Thank you for listening. You are more than one thing. Celebrate it.